Thank you for tuning in today, church. We are looking in the book of Mark. We're in chapter 4 in a parable, a pretty well-known parable of Jesus. It is called the parable of the sower or the farmer or the planter. There's a funny thing to me. The word sowing and a sower, I don't know anybody who uses that word except Christians talking about this parable. Sowing seeds is the process of planting seeds. They would grab them and toss them out on the ground and plant them. It just means planting seeds. But for whatever reason, that word has fallen into, nobody uses it. But that's what it means. It's a reasonable word. It's a good word. So if you don't know what sowing means, it means planting seeds. But planting them by scattering them, by tossing them, not just, you might think of digging a hole. Doesn't mean that. All right. So with that little thing out of the way, let me read this parable to you. It's Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Let me read it here. It says, "Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears, let him hear.'" It's a pretty well-known parable, but I think it's fairly often misused as well. And so let's take from it what we are supposed to learn from it and put it into practice. This parable is repeated in Matthew and Luke as well. You can read it. It's repeated pretty well, exactly the same in Matthew. Luke has a condensed version of it. But you can read them, and he does explain what this means. In the book of Matthew, he explains it pretty well. As well as in Mark. Anyhow, just looking at this, what is your job? What is your takeaway after reading and hearing the parable of the sower? There's a bunch of different things that happen, right? The guy throws a seed out. Some of it lands on a path. It doesn't last. Okay, some of it's on rocky ground. It grows up, but the sun scorches it. Some grows among thorns. It grows up, but they choke it out. And other, it grows on good soil, and it goes along and goes great. Okay? You are not the seed. You are not the plant. The moral of this story is not that you need to grow up and start making some fruit. That is not what this story is about. I've heard it taught that way many times. I don't know if you have or not. But it's worth pointing out. This story is not about how you are the plant and you need to start cranking out some better fruit around here. Get a grain or whatever, 130 or 60-fold or 100-fold of grain. Your job is to be a plant that grows a lot of grain. That is not the story. That is not the moral of the story. It's not what this parable is about. Okay? This parable is about the soil. Your job is to be the soil in which the seed grows, okay? The seed is the Word of God. We know that because it says it in Mark 4:14, the sower sows the Word, all right? He's planting the Word. We're going to get to his explanation here. There's actually he tells the parable in Mark 4:1-9. Then he explains why he tells parables at all, and then he explains the meaning of the parable. But we're going to look at these piecemeal, one at a time, each section. So today we're just looking at the parable. But it's pretty obvious. The word, the seed is the Word of God. You're not responsible for that. Your job is to know it. Your job is to have it on the tip of your tongue, to hide it in your heart. But your job is not to be the Word of God. That's not your job. God is planting these seeds. He's scattering them out. He's throwing the Word of God liberally all over the place. He doesn't care where it lands. He's throwing it indiscriminately. I don't know any farmers that do that. Every farmer I know just, they plow a field or whatever and they plant seeds there. They don't throw them on the road and they don't throw them in the weeds and the bushes. Like, they don't do that. But this guy, this is God. God so loved the world. He is going to send his son. He's going to bring the word of God everywhere. He's going to throw it everywhere so that everybody can hear it. So that nobody can say, oh, I never heard of God's word. Nobody can say that. He has written it on your heart. He has written it in creation. He has written it and revealed it in scripture and in his son. So it's available. He is the word of God. Okay? You cannot say, oh, I didn't bear any grain because I didn't hear the word of God. On some level, everybody has heard the word of God. You certainly have. You're on an internet connection right now listening to the word of God and being read and taught to you. If you have an internet connection, you have access to a gazillion Bibles. You have no excuse. All right? There might be somebody in some part of the world that has a lot more of excuses than you and I do. But even they have heard the word of God in some manner through creation, through the world that has been made, Romans 1, or through it being written on their heart, Romans 2 says. So it's available. You're not the word of God. You're not the seed. The seed grows into a plant. If it's growing in the right soil, your job is to be the soil, okay? The soil is what we're to be. Our job as the soil is to be a fertile soil, a ground in which things can grow spiritually. So that means our job is to not be hard-hearted. It fell on a path and birds came in and ate it up, right? Because the path was so hard, the seed didn't sink in. It just sat there exposed, waiting for something to come along and take it. Okay, that's the person who doesn't even receive the word of God. You're like, yep, I heard it, I know about it, and I don't care the least bit about it. The rocky ground, that's somebody whose life is a mess, aren't we all? But your priority is to keep the mess, not to grow the seed. Seed lands on you, you're like, yeah, I like that. I have a lot of things I like. I got a lot of rocks in my life. That's all the stuff you like. They're in my life. I'm not going to move them. They're there. Seed's welcome to grow on top of it if it wants to. I'm not going to stop it. But it doesn't grow. The seed needs good soil. And by continuing to maintain all the sinful habits, that's what these rocks would be, sinful habits, things that are incompatible with the word of God growing a deep root, it's sin. Okay, I had somebody in our church maybe 5-6 years ago who said they wanted a support group. They were in church for a support group. Okay, this was a short-term thing. They weren't here very long. They wanted the church to be a support group. I said, what does that mean to be a support group? Well, because I've got, this person listed off a lot of things in their life that were just outright sin, just sinful stuff. I've got all these things, and I need someone to support me in these things. It's like, that is not the purpose of a church. We will support you in breaking those off. You got a lot of rocky soil? Okay, we will help you throw rocks out and get rid of them so that your soil will be good. But we're not here to just continuously teach you God's word while you never let it grow any roots in your life. All right, you want roots, a deeply rooted word of God in your life? Then make room for the roots by getting rid of the rocks. The rocks are sinful things that prevent the word of God from ever growing to any kind of maturity in your life, and it dies. All right, the weeds are different. They're next. The plant does not die with these weeds. Did you catch this? It says, verse 7, Mark 4, 7, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. All right? Verse 6, where about the rocks, the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. That plant died. That person chose rocks over the word of God, sinful stuff over the word of God. Just, I don't want to repent. I want to have the word of God, and I want my sin. They're incompatible. The word of God withers away and dies there. All right, now the one with the weeds is different. This plant lives. It doesn't die. It doesn't say it withered away. It doesn't say it scorched. It just says it bore no fruit. It carried no grain. It didn't accomplish anything. It survived. It grew among the weeds, and there it was. A plant, let's say it was wheat. It was a stalk of wheat growing up among stalks of a bunch of other stuff, and there it was, but it did not carry any grain. It didn't do anything. It accomplished nothing. It just kind of survived. That is not biblical Christianity. That is not kingdom of God life. Not at all. The kingdom of God is a multiplying one. God told Adam and Eve that. Fill the earth and multiply. He told the disciples that. Go into all the nations, making disciples. Multiply. Fill the earth over everything. Cover the face of the earth with the glory of God and multiply his righteousness and his goodness. Multiply it. We'll just survive it. Okay? When it's harvest time, the farmer's going to come back and harvest the grain that has fruit. The grain that's growing up among the thorns and the bushes, the farmer's going to ignore that. That's just part of the... You ever go by a field and on the edge of every field where it meets the road or meets the edge of the field to the woods or something, there's always just a bunch of bushes and trees growing up. Farmer doesn't harvest that. That if something's growing in there that's useful, hey, whatever. It's not part of his kingdom. It's not part of his domain. That's off in the bushes. The bushes are a mess. Nobody really stares very closely at bushes and sees exactly what's growing up in them. There's all kinds of stuff. Doug preached on a sermon on this a couple of weeks ago, and I guess he had some sort of weeds growing somewhere at his property, and he actually did stop and look at them and try to figure out what it all was, and he listed off a whole bunch of stuff that was growing there. Look, if you have a weedy corner of your property, there's going to be 100 things there. The point is, you're not harvesting that. You're just ignoring it. And maybe if you get your whole yard under control, wouldn't that be a dream? Maybe you'll mow it down someday or dig it up, but you're not considering that part of your kingdom because it's bearing no fruit. The mark of a productive field for a farmer is this is the area where all the grain's growing and producing more grain, and that's the area where it's not. So it survived because it's God's word, and it had some soil to grow in, but it went nowhere. This is when your nose is stuck in your phone or the TV or the cares of this world, is how he describes it later in Mark chapter 4. You didn't reject God's word. You didn't choose sin over God's word. Reject it would be the stuff that fell on the path and did nothing. Choosing sin over it is where it's there growing, but you so have so much sin in your life, unrepentant, that your any word of God in your life just kind of dies. You didn't do that. You let it grow. And you're like, yeah, I like my Jesus, and I'm also obsessed with 100 other things, the cares of this world. I'm worried about paying my mortgage, and I'm more worried about politics, and I'm worried about entertainment, and I'm worried about this and that, and my kids growing up and their education, and all these things that are important, but they're not as important as the eternal word of God. But yet you allow them to choke out the eternal word of God in your life so that you have a completely non-productive life and affect nothing. And you just look like part of the rest of it. Does your Christian lifestyle look like everybody else? Are you living for the same things that everyone else is living for? Your next paycheck? Are you living for this stuff? Is this, if people looked at your life, would they say, yeah, that person, they live fundamentally different than I live. They live differently. Or are you just, you look like the bushes and the weeds growing up on the edge of the field. You look like part of the weeds and not part of the field. There is a distinct difference when you look at a cornfield or soybeans or wheat or something. That's the field where all of it's growing, and that's the edge of the field where a bunch of other stuff's growing. It's a very distinct difference. Where are you at? Which soil are you growing in? Or which soil is the word of God growing in? And you're the soil. And then lastly, there's the good soil. Other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. Now we'll look at that verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. We'll look at that tomorrow. He's referencing something specific. A lot of people have ears and hear, but do not understand. We'll look at that tomorrow. That's a powerful, scary warning. But look, you can look at your life, and you can look at how God's word is growing in your life, and that will be evidence of what kind of soil you are. Your job is not to, try really hard and crank out some fruit. Your job is to be the soil in which fruit grows naturally. Wheat will naturally produce a ton of more wheat if it just grows in good soil. You can't stop it. If the soil is fertile and it's not full of rocks and thorns and bushes, and a seed gets planted there of wheat, and the soil is a good soil, that wheat will grow up and produce more wheat. It just will happen. It won't have to try. It'll just do it. It'll be natural. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, how am I going to squeeze out some more fruit? How am I going to bear any more grain? I'm so busy. I'm so worn out. I don't know how to do this. That is a warning that you're surrounded by weeds or rocks, or you're barely even in the rock. You're on the path, and you're so hardened that nothing's even happening from your life. Okay? So what you're producing or not producing is just a sign. It's a warning sign or a promise or whatever of what kind of soil you are. Your job is to be the soil. Soil that is cultivated by God, by the Word of God. Do you care more about the Word of God than you care about fill in the blank anything else? Are you hungry for it? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be satisfied. They'll be filled. Right, hungering and thirsting for it, then he'll quench that. He'll meet that. Okay, are you walking with God daily? Is He your goal and purpose, or are you living for 100 things and God? Then you're just one of the many bushes growing up in the bushes. You're just one more stalk of random weed growing up in the weeds. Don't do that. Be the soil that says no weeds. I'm getting rid of the weeds. The only thing I'm centered on is God's kingdom. That's it. That's all I care about. That's all I want. I'm just going to study God's word. I'm going to settle in on Him. When's the last time you were late for something because you were busy reading your Bible and time got away from you and you said, "Whoa, sorry, I'm running late. Sorry, guys, I'm sorry I got here late. I was reading my Bible and I was just so engrossed in it." When's the last time you stayed up late, because you were just engrossed in reading your Bible? You ever binge read the Bible? People binge watch. That's a thing where you watch back-to-back-to-back episodes of something. You ever do that with the Bible? Just man. You ever miss a meal because you were so engrossed in God's kingdom? I don't mean fasting where you're dedicated to it. I just mean you lost track of time and you lost your center. I'm not saying that that's how I live every day of my life, not at all, not even close. But that's the sign of a soil that is deeply watered and fertilized with engrossed in God. So God's word will just grow up very easily in that soil and bear tons and tons of fruit and grain. All right, I hope that makes sense to you. You're the soil, and what you're producing or not producing is a function of the soil in which God's word is growing. Not producing anything means the soil is growing a bunch of other stuff. It's producing something, just not multiplying God's word. It's multiplying weeds or whatever. Okay, be the soil. Be the soil. We're going to keep digging deeper in this tomorrow. God bless you. I'll see you then.